We're doing the Ein Yaakov. We're up to Daf Nun Hey, I guess, in the Gemara, which is Pegim Lamed Beis, page 166. And Bezrat Hashem, next week we'll have photocopies for the guys. I made Hashem will take care of it this week. The Gemara had quoted in the name of Rabbi Yehuda that there are three things that cause a person to have longevity. If a person daven's a longer prayer, provided that he doesn't walk away from the prayer assuming God's going to do what I want because I daven long, so then a long prayer grants a person longevity. If a person spends more time at the table so that the poor can come and share from his meal, so that also gives him longevity. And if a person takes more time in the bathroom, if he doesn't rush in the bathroom, these are three things that cause longevity. So the Gemara says a longer prayer means that he just he extends his pleads, he extends his words of praise, he extends his prayer. But it's not that he's constantly thinking, because I daven longer, I'll get what I ask for. Umaricha shulchano, why is it that if you eat a longer meal, so that's an amulet for longevity? Because maybe someone poor will come knocking at your door. In ancient times, the poor used to go around at mealtime and get food from people. So the verse says the altar was wood 3 feet high, 3 amos high. And the angel says to Ezekiel, the prophet in Ezekiel is taken by an angel of the heavenly tour of the temple that's to come. And the verse says that Ezekiel witnessed the altar 3 amos high, and then the angel tells him, "Zeh shulchan asher lifnei Hashem." This is the table before God. Patach b'mizbech m'sem b'shulchan. He starts off talking about the altar. He concludes saying that's the table before God. Well, which one is it, an altar or a table? Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Eliezer, the Amri Tarvayu, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Eliezer, they both explained the verse as follows. B'zman shebet hamikdash kayam, when the temple is erect, Mizbech mechaper al Yisrael, the atonement for the Jewish people is through the altar. They bring sacrifices. Ve'achshav, and nowadays, how do you attain atonement? Shulchano shel adam mechaper alav. The atonement is through a person's own table. Do you have guests? Do you host people who need a meal? That's the atonement. The table is instead of the altar. That's what the angel was showing Ezekiel. And people sometimes overlook this mitzvah. It's very common that people need a place to stay. Today on the internet you can house guests. You're going to host guests, so don't leave your fine jewelry out. You don't know who you're having over, so maybe you got to be careful if you have silverware that's precious to you. You have to watch your kids. You don't know who the guests are. There are precautions that an intelligent person takes, but that doesn't mean he doesn't have guests. He does have guests. We once, Friday night, we had a knock on the door. Two young ladies were standing there, and they said that they just got released from a hospital, and they had nowhere to go, and they needed a meal. And to me, it was clear they were charlatans. But the halacha says, what? I was sure they were fakes. They wanted to steal things from the house. It was clear as day to me. But the halacha says, when someone asks you for food, you never know how hungry they are. So I said, fine, we'll be happy to give you of the meal. And they said, no, we have to continue our journey to get home, and we need coats. And so I said to my wife, do you have any sweater or coat or something that you anyways want to get rid of? If you have something that you think you'll never see again, because even though they're promising they'll be back, guaranteed they're not coming back. So my wife went to look through her stuff, and I said to my wife, we don't leave them in this house for 1 second without keeping an eye on them. And there's not 1 second that they could be in this house. If we both have to leave the room, they have to leave the house. They're not staying here for 1 second without our keeping an eye on them. And I saw that they kept waiting to see an opportunity that we weren't in the room. A short while later, we heard that these two women had made it to someone's house who believed their story, who gave them a place to stay. And they ate there and drank there and stayed there. And then, when the family went out to shul, they cleaned the house of all the jewelry and silverware and money and disappeared. Yes, we're supposed to be nice, but we're not supposed to be stupid. We have to be nice in a way that we can protect ourselves. The Talmud tells us that Rabbi Yoshua taught his students, you have to respect people like the prince, but suspect them like armed robbers. A guest once came to his house. He served them everything on the best silverware. At night, they put the guest up in the attic and took away the ladder. At night, the guest got up, collected all the silverware, and tried to climb out of the attic to make a run for it. He didn't realize that they took away the ladder, and he fell and broke his neck. He gets up in the morning, Rabbi Yeshua sees the guest flapping on the floor. The guest says, Rabbi, I didn't know you took the ladder. Rabbi Yeshua says, what do you think? Just because I honored you means I trusted you. I honored you because you're supposed to honor every human being. That doesn't mean I trust you. I took away the ladder to ensure you don't rob me and make a getaway. Okay, so the Talmud says that's the attitude we're supposed to have. You take in guests, you're nice to them, you respect them, you treat them well, but that doesn't mean you leave yourself vulnerable for them to exploit you. Now, on the other hand, we do have to take in guests. And very often, the people who go around collecting, I don't give them money. Very often I don't give them money. But I'll always offer them a drink. You know, the guy is walking out in the sun, and I'll offer him to use the facilities. Some of the homes he comes to, maybe the wife's home, she won't let him in. But I could offer him a drink. That I could offer him. He's a human being. He's probably thirsty. Whether he's for real or not, so very often I'll read their letters, and if they're 3 years old, then I'm not so convinced. And even if they're 1 year old or 1 month old, I'm not so convinced. And sometimes their claim is they have to buy their son an apartment, which I respect, but I don't own my own apartment either, so I don't see why I should fund his son's apartment when I don't yet own an apartment. So I respect that, and I wish him best of luck, and I'm not going to give him a penny. But I can still offer him a drink. And very often, this is a question of how people feel. Pesach this year, were any of you there? None of you guys were by this year, Pesach. Pesach at our house. I don't remember which day. I think it was the seventh day or Shabbos. There's a knock on the door in the middle of the meal, and someone walks in with a big smile, and I look at him, and he looks vaguely familiar. And I know we didn't talk before Pesach. And the guy walks in and says, and he walks in like it's a given he's there. So we treat it like it's a given he's there. We set the table, give him tea. And somewhere during the meal, he tells me, you remember last year I was by you Pesach? Turns out that one of the guys from the Machon was a friend of his. And a year earlier, he came to the meal. So you look at a guy who walks in like, you never said it. We haven't spoken in a year, right? The guy shows up. I said to myself, you know what? It's a good sign. So maybe he felt so comfortable last year that he felt he could come unannounced, which is fine. You know, so what happened? You know, so someone else enjoyed the meal. So I think that this is an aspect which is less common today, what the Gemara is saying. That you extend your meals that people will show up. People don't usually show up at our tables, right? But A, hopefully we can give them a feeling where they feel like they could. If they're stuck for a meal, hopefully they'll feel like they can. And B, we do have opportunities. You come to a yeshiva. There are guys who need a place to stay. I always tell guys here that you could learn more from being at someone's Shabbos table than you can in a class. You learn more about Jewish life by being a guest than you do by learning it in theory in class. So when you guys are married and Bezat Shem you'll have homes, remember us and come back and invite guys from the Machon so they could benefit from it too. And I think that's a fulfillment of this, where the Talmud says that it grants one longevity. And we can really connect this line in Talmud to Medrash Tanchuma. The Medrash Tanchuma says that there are certain things which are amulets for having children, for couples that have fertility issues. The Medrash Tanchuma says, one of them is having guests. As we find, Avram and Sarah brought in a guest, they had a child. The woman brought in Elijah, Elisha, the prophet, and she got pregnant. We find throughout Tanakh, people who took in guests, so that was like an amulet for having children. So we don't do mitzvahs for the sake of the amulets. But the having children is also an aspect of longevity. It's a continuum. Yes. Yeah.
If one's in a situation like that, and they don't have an attic to put them into, like, if these people want to stay the night, and, you know, you're not sure if they have where else to be.
I didn't let them stay. I told them where there are soup kitchens, and I did not let them stay because I don't know if they're murderers. I don't know what they're capable of doing. I don't have to endanger my family. It's not only about my assets. It's about me, my wife, and my kids. I don't have to endanger my family with a very, very strange story where people can't give me any proof or anything, and I don't know who they are, and it's very strange. You know, hospitals don't kick people out when they say they got no place to go on a Friday night. The story doesn't add up. So if people are hungry and people are out in the cold, so if I can, I'll help them. And not at the expense of my coat. Not I don't have to freeze. But the story doesn't add up, right? So when the story doesn't add up, and even if the story did add up, I don't know these people. You know, even when I have guests, I'll put them up in a different apartment. Because most of the guests I have are people who I know for a week, a month, half a year. I don't know people's history, and I respect everyone greatly, but, you know, you guys don't know who's carrying what diseases and stuff like that. You know, everything's very nice, and I admire every person and their advancement in life, but how many people have used needles? Just let's take a simple example. So there's a limit to what you're supposed to expose yourself to. You know, it's one thing to have a guest. It's another thing to put them in the kid's room when you don't know. I don't know who these people are. Never met them in my life. So Avraham Avinu had tents for people. If I had tents, I'd be happy to put them up in outside tents. You know, I don't have tents. I have one room where my kids sleep. So the only place I could put up a guest is in that room. I'm not. I have no way of protecting my children during the night unless I stay up all night. So. It's so not our soup kitchens. There are other places. Let them work it out.
Okay, so we're not obligated to go to that extreme length.
I don't think so. No. No.
Would you say that those types of characters?
I just want to modify that. There was a student here who had no place to go, and Rav Goldenberg took him into his house for a while, but there, he knew the student. The guy learned by him for a long time. Maybe he paid rent. Could be he rented the room for Rav Goldenberg at a discounted rate. It was a unique situation. The guy was, he knew him, you know, and then, you know, in light of the circumstances, okay, so we figured out something, and Rav Goldenberg's a big tzaddik, and he figured out something that worked. It could be the guy rented the room. I don't know, but they worked something out to help the guy out. Okay, that's very nice. You know, it's different. If one of you guys came to me, I've had times where guys told me they were stuck on whatever, and if I could, we worked something out. I'm saying it's different if you know someone or someone shows up in the middle of the night and you don't know where they came from or who they are. If you have, you have a guest room and you have a way of ensuring that the kids' room is closed and not accessible, etc., it's a different story. You have to think about how you do it. You have to think about how you do it. There are different ways. The sages did different things, but you know what? At the end of the day, if you don't know who you're dealing with, then you don't know what risks you're entering. I would not bring a person into the house that way. No. No. A person has his first responsibility is the safety of his home. And I'm not only talking about financial safety. I'm talking about also physical safety. You don't know. And people can look very healthy and carry all kinds of diseases with them. I'm not talking about lice and other things. I'm talking about real diseases. I'm talking about hepatitis B and C. I'm talking about things that we have no cure for. I'm not only talking about AIDS. There are a lot of things that people have. And you don't know these people. I'm saying you bring someone into your house, you're exposing your family to certain things. You don't know what needles he's carrying. You don't know anything about the person. You got to be careful.
I think even if you've got AIDS, it's not going to get to your kids, you know. Even if you share a glass.
That's why I said hepatitis B and Z. That's exactly why I said hepatitis B and Z. I didn't say AIDS.
Can you catch that?
I think so. I'll tell you even more. A lot of things just shaking someone's hand and then rubbing one's own eyes takes the germs and puts it straight into the... because it's liquid and the mucus in the eyes are liquid. More diseases are passed through our eyes than through anything else. For example.
Yeah, but it's normally the quantity, isn't it?
Okay. I'm saying a person has to be careful. Yes. You want to say something?
I thought about the... is that kind of behavior on the increase? Because... is it not the case that people say, maybe I heard it here, that like 15, 20 years ago, well, it wasn't a crime, and then it seems to be changed. Is that right?
The crime usually goes hand in hand with two things. One is when they open up the Gaza Strip, or when they open up the West Bank. Every time they open up, they saw when they closed the West Bank, so insurance rates went down because the number of car thefts went down. You know, it's not a question of racism, it's a question of statistics. We see it every time. Every time we see it. They open the gate, suddenly...
these people knocking on the door, working guards,
So they probably were not. The other thing that we're seeing, unfortunately, is that a lot of the people coming from Thailand and from Russia are committing all kinds of crimes that we never used to hear. We never used to hear it on the radio. I mean, the crimes that are going on here. The last thing that the Braisa had said is Amarich bebet hakise, someone who takes his time when he relieves himself. So the Gemara asks, "Mal yutehi, is that really something good?" The Braisa lists 10 things that lead a person to tachtoniyot, which probably means hemorrhoids, and one of them is spending an extra long time when one goes to relieve himself. So the Gemara says it depends, and that's, we'll have to go into that Bezrat Hashem next time, because I think they're starting Ma'ariv, so we got to stop here. We'll pick up here.